go right on to the main message this morning. I want to finish up with our message series. We've been talking about the five times in the Bible, and I'll let you know when to go to the next slide, Brother David. I'll cue you. But the title of this message series is Cheer Full. I want to know what you're full of. I want to know, have you got the joy of the Lord full in your life? Can I get a witness out there? And so we've been talking about the five be of good cheer. So five times the Bible says be of good cheer. Say that with me. Be of good cheer. Go to the next slide. So we talked about, or let me just give you the five, because obviously I'm not going to be able to cover all of them. But first of all, last Sunday we talked about thy sins be forgiven thee. The cheer of pardon. Be of good cheer. You're saved. All righty. Then the next time, last Sunday night, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. In the midst of the storm, it is I. Be not afraid. Somebody say amen. Amen. The one we didn't preach on is the cheer of peace. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the cheer of peace. Now, next slide. Go to the last two. And the one of those we'll talk about this morning is the cheer of purpose. And then finally, we won't cover the cheer of promise. Maybe later down the road, if I get a chance to preach just a standalone message, I may pick that up. But Acts 27 and 25, and the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." That's the cheer of promise. When God says He's going to save your children, and I know they're out there strung out on drugs, and I know they won't come to church, but be of good cheer. Don't let your heart be troubled. God said He will save those children, and the Holy Ghost can reach down and do what only He can do. And if the doctor gives you a bad report or anything of that nature, just be of good cheer, because He has promised to heal. He has promised to deliver. He has promised to set free. He said if you give your tithe and your offerings, He will make a way and open up the windows of heaven. So be of good cheer. Can you say amen? Amen. Now go to the next slide, because three things I want you to remember. Three things about be of good cheer. Number one, it's a command. In other words, hey, quit moping around. Quit frowning. Quit being blues and blahs. Now, I know there's clinical depression, a hormonal imbalance, and I know that sometimes our bodies are lacking nutrients, and it literally produces what we call clinical depression that needs to be addressed through a physician. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're just fine. You're just got your shoulders drooped. You walk in church with a pity party, and you want everybody to get sad and just play a string violin. And listen, you need to stop that. You're disobeying God. You're being disobedient. Listen, there's not a one of us that don't have something we can all cry about, right? Listen, my wife loves to watch tearjerkers. She loves to watch chick flicks. She loves to watch those movies that make you cry. And I cannot stand to watch those movies, because, listen, if I want a good cry, I'll just think about all the problems of my own life. Amen. I don't need to cry about some movie star who's making $30 million to make me cry. I mean, get a life. Friend, listen, it doesn't mean that every now and then I'm not a little down, but I'm telling you, when I get down, I pull it together, I snap to attention. Yes, Lord, You said be of good cheer. Listen, how many of you got children? Does it please you when your children are walking around sad? When your children are sad, aren't you sad? And I don't want my Heavenly Father to look at me, and He has blessed me with living in America. He's given me health in my body. He's given me more better days than I've had bad days. It doesn't please Him when I'm walking around and not cheerful. And so heed the command. This is a command, just like thou shalt not commit adultery. This is a command. And are you going to obey that command? If you are, give the Lord a hand of praise. Be of good cheer. Not only is it a command, it's a choice. To be of good cheer is a choice. You've got to choose to be of good cheer. When somebody does you wrong, you've got to choose to be of good cheer. Because listen, somebody, if somebody does you wrong, either First of all, I'm going to say it like this. Nobody really can do you wrong. I want you to listen to that. Nobody can really do you wrong. And if somebody does you wrong, it's because God has allowed it for a greater good. Amen. So I go back to my original statement, Brother Philip. Nobody can really. They thought they did Joseph wrong by throwing him in a pit. But they weren't really doing him wrong. God was just setting him up for a promotion. Can you say amen? So choose to be of good cheer. My prayers aren't answered, Pastor, but choose joy because they're going to be answered. Amen. It's a command. Say amen. It's a choice. Say amen. And then be of good cheer is a course. Because I'm going to tell you, you could be a wet blanket in your family. One person in the family, blues and blahs, depression, can make everybody else miserable. But listen, being of good cheer sets a course. When you get up and you say, and I'm not talking about positive attitude, and you need to have a positive attitude. I'm not talking about some of this stuff that's psychological. I'm talking about biblical command, biblical joy, biblical cheer. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm telling you, it'll set the course of your life. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. When a church comes in cheerful, the power of God will show up. Miracles will happen. I know that not every problem is solved in the world. I know that I've still got issues in my own personal life. So have you. But I'm going to set a course because God is up to something and he's working and he's moving. And the course is that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Can you say amen this morning? I told you that your day tends to go in the same direction as the corners of your mouth. So if your mouth is going that way, some of you are doing that. And I'm just kidding. In fact, I have caught myself as I'm getting older. I've caught myself frowning a lot. I'd be at Best Buy or I'd be just walking around. And I've had to say, Ricky, stop that. Put that mouth up. Let people give the world a smile. Amen. Jesus is in my heart. Amen. So you got to work on it. Because I think as you get older, it just tends to do that by natural. Amen. Come on. And so, listen, I don't want my day going that way. I want it going this way. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning and be of good cheer and turn to Acts chapter 23. I want you to stand as we go to the next slide. And we are going to be looking this morning at the fourth time in the Bible where it says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Acts chapter 23 verses 10 through 11. And by the way, every time the Bible said a be of good cheer, every time it was said was in a difficult situation. Every time. In fact, other translations of the Bible, other than King James, translates be of good cheer, take courage or take heart. And that's exactly right, what be of good cheer means. Take courage, take heart. And so this morning in Acts chapter 23, let's read it together. If you're there, say amen. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them. Notice that Paul was about to be beat up, whipped, pulled in pieces. Has anybody ever felt like you've been pulled in pieces? He commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. In other words, Paul was about to be killed by a bunch of assassins, and so the captain there said, I'm going to rescue him. Now go to the next slide. And the night following, now after this, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, read it together with me, be of good cheer, Paul. Now I want you to put your name right there. Instead of saying Paul, I want you to put your name. Are you with me? Be of good cheer, Rick. Be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, somebody is going to have a testimony this morning. Thou must bear witness also at Rome, the cheer of purpose. Father, thank you this morning for your joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. thank you for these men and different ones that we've recognized for serving our country. And Memorial Weekend, we are truly blessed as a nation. Thank you for our president going to Israel. Thank you, God. I pray blessings upon his administration. Give him wisdom and people around him that will guide him to Judeo-Christian value to make it a bulwark in this time. And God, thank you for our pastor. Bless him and First Lady as they vacation and move in this service this morning. We're going to be of good cheer and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty. Cheer them up this morning. Amen. Next slide. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Now I'm really in good cheer. Amen. Praise God. In our text this morning, I read to you just a little snippet of a larger story, because Paul was in hot water. He was stirring up some stuff. You know what he was stirring up stuff for? Because he was preaching the gospel. The great apostle Paul was standing on trial before the Jewish Sanhedrin. Now the Jewish Sanhedrin is the equivalent to what we would call the Supreme Court. So just think of Paul standing before the Supreme Court in 9 robed justices. And why is he on trial? He is on trial because he is preaching Jesus to the Jews and saying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Next slide. Now, I don't have time to go through this, so I'd like to give you some stuff to go on your own and study. And you may want to take a snapshot of this slide or take a note of this. But there are really 3 things going on. There's the detention of Paul when he's arrested. You'll see in chapters 21, verses 17 through 36, we'll see that Paul was put in jail. He was in detention. He was arrested. And then you see not only the detention of Paul, but the defense of Paul. We're in Acts chapter 21, verse 37. And you go down through Acts 23:10. You'll find him masterfully explaining, almost to the point that where Felix and trembles and where these great men are so moved by his testimony. And he gives his defense and he talks about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in detention. He gives his defense. But in all of this, he is still in danger. And this is where you find this be of good cheer statement. It is when Paul is in danger, because as he's given his defense, as he's speaking of Jesus Christ, all he's doing is telling people, hey, I was killing Christians, but a light shone and now I have become a Christian and Jesus Christ died for our sins. And that's all he was doing to get those people so mad. And so when you go back and you read it, 40 Jewish assassins had made a vow. We are going to kill him. And I just want to stop right there. You thought you had a bad work experience. Come on. You thought that secretary was really something else to deal with on the job there. But let me tell you, what would you feel like if you had 40 grown men who had one goal in mind, and that was to assassinate you? In fact, they were fasting. It says that these 40 assassins said, we are not going to eat any more food, no more food until we kill him. Now, it'd be bad enough if it was one person who did it or 2 people who did it. But can you imagine 40 people fasting and hoping that you're going to die? That's not very pleasant. Can I get a witness? I mean, that does sound like a bad chick flick, doesn't it? But let me tell you something. The Lord delivered him out of that plot. Brother and sister, when God puts his hand on your life, if 140 try to kill you, they can't kill you. Not a hair of your head. I love that Old Testament phrase. Not a hair of glory of your head. It ties in with the hair of your head are numbered in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, not a hair of your head will fall to the ground without God's approval. I said, be of good cheer this morning. If God be for you, it doesn't matter if 40 people are against you or 1,000. God is on the throne, and you need to be of good cheer. Paul is going through the trials of his life. Paul is having assassins trying to kill him. It may have seemed like to Paul, I'm dead, but go to the next slide. Acts 23:11. And the night, sometimes we go through some nights. And by the way, I tell you, this is something the Lord is just showing me. But did you know that in the book of Genesis, that God reckons the days not from morning to night? It says the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning. We are Westerners. God is an Easterner. I don't mean God, He's both. But the Bible was written in the East. Their culture is different. For example, in the wedding, the groom is the star of the wedding. But in America, the bride is the star of the wedding. Can I get a witness out there? But in the other culture, it's the groom who is the wedding's all about. That's why Jesus is our groom, and He's the star of the wedding, because it's a Jewish wedding, not an American wedding. Amen. But listen, to the Jews, they begin Passover at sundown. What am I trying to say? I'm just trying to tell you, if the sun has gone down, and if the lights are out, and if it seems to be night, get ready, because God starts His work sometimes on the night shift. Glory be to God. If you're going through a night, I want you to be of, listen, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, say it with me, be of good cheer. As you've testified in Jerusalem, as you've preached, I don't care what those 40 assassins have in mind. You're going to Rome. And friend, God has a purpose for your life. Ain't no devil can stop it. Ain't no disease can stop it. Ain't no debt can stop it. Be of good cheer. So I just want us to stand up and take a praise break, like Pastor Jerry said. Stand up and be of good cheer. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah, somebody. You're going to make it. God says, basically, on that scripture, here it is. I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Paul, you've testified here, but I'm going to send you to Rome. But Lord, I'm in a mess. Paul, you testified here, but you're going to Rome. I have a plan. Darnell, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Sister Bridget, God has a plan. Brother Bartz, God has a plan and a... Tell somebody, help me preach to everybody. I said, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we ought to praise God for that. He's my creator. But He's not only my creator, He's my Father. Amen? Now you see, God's got a purpose for the pain we go through. God's got a purpose through the plight we go through, or through the problem. And you can be of good cheer. Go to the next slide. Go ahead. I have a purpose for your life. You see, over and over in the Word of God, we are told that we were created. We were called and we were chosen. We were created, called, and chosen. Or you can say created, chosen, and called. Ever how you want to line it up. Say it with me. Created, called, and chosen. I just want that to sink in. Created. Now, let me tell you something about created. You know, I can create a birdhouse with some wood and nails. Get these Royal Ranger boys out here and paint it up. And woo, we got a birdhouse to give to the mothers on Mother's Day because they created it. But you remember, creation, when God's talking about creation, He's really talking about birthing. He's really talking about doing something that entails life. I can't put life into a birdhouse. Are you with me? I can create the birdhouse, but only God could create the bird. And I'm going to talk about the bird and the fish a little bit later, since we saw some bluefish up there. Glory to God. But listen to me. God created you. Turn around and tell somebody, God created you. Well, Brother Ricky, don't you understand that my mother and father had me outside of marriage? In fact, somebody might even have said that my mother was violated, raped, and out of that came my birth. And so I was, let me tell you, God created you. I don't care what Listen, you didn't come from your mother. You came through your mother. Listen, God called you. I said, God called you. Now you say, well, I can't sing, I can't preach, and I can't. There you are again. The sides of your mouth is going down. Let me tell you, you've got a gift. You are called and you need to obey God. Some of you need to do like these soldiers and say, yes, Lord. That's another sermon the Lord's going to get me to preach here next time around. But listen, we are called. And listen, we are chosen. I want to tell you something. I remember when I was growing up, I was a chubby little kid. I always, you know, been chubby. And I'm slimming down a little bit now. But when we had ball games or stuff at school, they'd tell, they'd pick two people who was the best ones, and they'd say, you pick out your team. And so they'd pick out this one, and they'd pick out that one, and they'd pick out this one, they'd pick out that one. Guess what? I was the last one chosen. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but because some of you, I'm sure, was the first one. But I'll tell you, I was, Brother Phil, I was always the last one chosen to play those games. Because I was a little hefty and I couldn't run as fast and I wasn't as coordinated as they were. But let me tell you something. When God decided to save humanity, He didn't leave Ricky Nelms high and dry. He didn't say he's gone too much, he can't do this. Listen, before I was born, He chose me. He would have never chose me after I was born because I messed up too much. The Bible says before the foundation, we are chosen in Christ. Before, not only are you called, not only are you created, He created you and said, I want you. I've chosen you. I've called you. And listen, be of good cheer. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Amen. You have a purpose. Go to the next slide. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to what? His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. By the way, He chose me knowing what mistakes I would make, knowing the sins that I would commit, knowing that He would forgive them. You say, well, I have failed. I want to talk about that. But He still called you and chose you, and you need to be of good cheer. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Having made known unto us, the next slide, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed. There is a reason you're here. There's a reason you're born. In fact, there's a reason you failed. Well, Brother Ricky, God didn't have anything to do with that. No, He might not have caused you to fail. But I tell you what, He knew you'd fail. And He can turn that failure and make it into a ministry. Can I get a witness out there? I never did, and I give God all the praise, but I never got into alcohol. My dad drank very heavily beer. He didn't drink hard liquor and things like that. But every day he'd come home from work. He'd pop that beer can. One, two, three, four. Five. I'm no telling how many he'd drink. Many a Saturday we would sit there and Dad would cook a steak on the grill. And by the time we got sit down to eat it, he would couldn't hardly cut a steak. He was so buzzed, so drunk. And he was a good man. My daddy was a good man. Worked hard, but he was an alcoholic. And by the way, I'm just going to chase a rabbit. Moderation never works. Abstinence always does. When it comes to alcohol, and I don't know who does what, and people come up and say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine, and as long as you're moderate about it, I'm going to tell you, moderation, 90% of the time, will fail. Now, there may be that rare time where you can drink moderately and it not, but friend, I'm just about here to tell you, let's go on up that 99.9% of the time, because every time I've asked somebody, well, how many drinks have you had? Well, I've had just a few beers. You know what a few beers, you know, a few to me means like one or two, but a few to some people is like 10 or 12. Are you with me here? Come on now, this is Memorial Weekend. I got to get in your stuff and you're going to have parties tonight and tomorrow. Let's go on and get, let's pastor says, let's get real here this morning. I want you to know moderation does not work, but abstinence always does. Just stay away from it. Don't even give any one drink, one drop of alcohol, because you may drink one drop and your child may wind up drinking 50 drops. It just does not work. Alcohol is a bad thing. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You're sitting there like I'm not preaching anything this morning, but my God, if you believe what I'm saying, somebody say amen. I guess I got a friend that's working with me at Best Buy, and he's talking about he's a moderate drinker. So that's why it's been pent up in me. Amen. He's a young man, and I don't want him to mess up his life. And I'll tell you, I never got into alcohol, but not because I'm self-righteous. I didn't get into alcohol because I saw what it did to my daddy. There were times when I could have had a relationship with my dad and where he would be more vibrant, more alert, and I was robbed because of alcohol. So I hate it. I don't hate alcoholics, because I'll tell you, God loves you if you struggle with alcohol. Now, if you struggle with alcohol, ask God to help you to go abstinent. And listen, I want you to understand something. That there's a reason you're here. There's a reason you were born. And although I never got into alcoholism, I never got into different things that people get into, drugs. But some of you have been delivered from alcohol. Some of you have been delivered from drugs. And I'm here to tell you, God has called you and chosen you, and you need to be of good cheer. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm so hurt because I did this and things, and I'm embarrassed. God said, I'll take the shame away, and I'll restore unto you the years that you spent in vanity and pride, caring not your Lord was crucified. I'm here to tell you, God still has a purpose for your life. Can you say amen? And you need to be of good cheer. And quit mourning the past. The past is over. It's a new day. And we need to let the sides of our mouth go up and say, I believe in God. And if you believe in God, you can believe in people who God is working through. Amen? Let me tell you, you are so unique. There is nobody like you at all. Everybody is different. Everybody has the same, it's not the same, but the different fingerprint. Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? In fact, here's what happened. When God made you, He said this, I'll never do that again. Now, I want to tell you something. Go to the next slide. We understand that we have a purpose. But if you do not know the purpose for a thing, abuse always follows. Are you with me? Let me give you an example. I said God made you for a purpose. But if you don't understand your purpose, then what? Abuse follows. If I don't understand that God has a purpose for my life, then I'm going to drink all my troubles away. Because that's why a lot of people drink. They drink because it makes them forget their troubles. We don't need to forget our troubles. Through God's grace, we face our troubles. And so we abuse ourselves. If we don't understand, let's take a beautiful young woman who's 21, 22 years old, very beautiful. And if she doesn't understand that God has a purpose for her life, there's an emptiness in the inside. She's lonely. She wants companionship. And so, unfortunately, when she has companionship, she yields her body to do things that what's happened is she's being abused in a sense. Can I get a witness? She's allowing it. She's allowing these things to happen. But if she understood that God had a purpose for her life, and that relationship will happen, and it will be a great thing, and marriage, and oh yes, there's marriage again. See, if we listen, this is a microphone. Everybody say amen. This is not a hammer. Can I just break it down East Carolina style here? I mean, I just got to break it down real simple. I didn't go to UNC Chapel Hill or Duke University and all of these prestigious schools. And some of you did go to East Carolina, and you went to the upper end of the university. I went to the just barely make it university. All right. You probably graduated magna cum laude, but I graduated thank you, Lord. Amen. So I got through it. Amen. But at East Carolina, This is a microphone. You do not use it. This microphone has a purpose. It's to amplify my voice and whoever's speaking so that I don't go home with a sore throat every day. Amen? This is not a hammer. So if I need to hang a picture right here, and I'm like, man, I need to nail a nail in the wall. So let me get this microphone. And I just, how many of you know what? That's not the purpose of this microphone. And so when I nail the nail, guess what's going to happen? Abuse and damage. Oh, my friend, when you don't realize your purpose, you do things to your body and you do things to your spirit. I'm not telling you not to do drugs and alcohol because I'm a goody two-shoes. I'm telling you because I don't want you to hurt yourself. Every thou shalt not, God is saying, in a sense, don't hurt yourself. But every thou shalt, God is saying, help yourself to happiness. Amen. When he's, oh, man, I'm getting chasing more rabbit. But when he says thou shalt not commit adultery, he's saying don't hurt yourself. I know it may seem fun. I know your own marriage may be a little going through the valley right now. But listen, it's better to work on your own marriage and stir the flame up in your own marriage than the grass is always greener on the other side. You've heard that. But please understand it's over the septic tank. There's a purpose for marriage. There's a purpose for your body. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. God's got a high and a holy and an awesome purpose. And we ought to celebrate it and rejoice it and be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I pull out a hammer that's got an iron head, and that hammer's made to drive nails, and that hammer can take and build buildings and build a church. That little bitty hammer, praise God, that little bitty you and that little bitty me. I may be broken. I may not seem significant. A hammer's not a pretty thing, but praise God, it's a useful thing, and it does mighty things in the master's hand. My God, be of good cheer this morning. You're in the hand of the master, and if you are, your marriage is going to work. Your life is going to work. God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Be of good cheer. Now, I want you to know that some people, I had a friend of mine at Best Buy. She showed me this picture of a motorcycle that her boyfriend or a beau, whatever you call it, was going to buy for her. It was a yellow motorcycle. And how many of you like motorcycles? Come on, just be honest with you. You like them. How many of you got them? Anybody got them? You got one, buddy? You're way too young to have it. You better stay away from that Lincoln Town car. Don't go close to it. Anybody else have a motorcycle? Had one? You know, you get that motorcycle and you throw your leg over the seat and you. And by the way, Thursday, I live right in front of Shiloh Pentecostal Holiness Church. The house I live in is owned by Shiloh Pentecostal Holiness Church. So I'm renting the house from Shiloh. And it's facing Lamb Road. And Shiloh's over to the right. And Thursday, they had all these motorcycle people come in. And vroom, vroom, vroom. I mean, it was motorcycle after. And I stood in the front yard and I just thumbs up because they were doing it for a good cause. But I'm not personally into motorcycles. Me personally. Now, everybody has their thing. If you like a motorcycle, I praise God, enjoy it. Because this, everybody, to each his own. Amen. You will not see me on a motorcycle. I promise you. Now, that's not to say that I won't ever do it. Because if you love a motorcycle and you say, Pastor, ride the motorcycle with me. I promise you I'll ride it with you. But in the back of my head, I'll be saying, Lord, help me, Jesus. I am dying 1,000 deaths for the glory of the Lord. Amen. But if you love them, I love that you love them. But I personally don't like them. I don't like anything that messes up my hair. I'm just going to be honest with you. I just don't. I got to put a helmet on. And I just don't want anything. And another thing is, I don't want to be out there. The reason I drive a Lincoln Town car is if we have a collision, I got a better chance. Amen. And I know motorcycle people don't like you to talk like that. But let me tell you, I want to ask you a question. Let's pretend you're the motorcycle. And I want to know who's riding you. Come on. Because the motorcycle can't go nowhere until somebody's up there, cranks it up, and rides it somewhere. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that are driven by money. Point one, money. Money. They are driven to make money. They are driven to get ahead. Listen, There is nothing wrong with prosperity and asking God for wealth. I do not believe it is a sin to have wealth. Luxury, I pray for wealth, but I do not ask for luxury. There's a difference between luxury and wealth. Wealth means that you have more than enough to meet your needs and more than enough to meet the needs of God's kingdom and beyond. Amen. Now, if you've got enough to where you're going to buy 50 houses and 40 luxury boats and drive $100,000 cars, I believe you've stepped over into luxury. I believe you've stepped over into greed. I believe something, and I know, and I'm not judging anybody that has nice things. Just because somebody has wealth and a big home, it doesn't mean they're reveling in luxury. It just means that God has blessed them, and we don't look down on that. Are y'all with me here today? I believe that God wants you to have more and prosper and be in health. It is the Lord that giveth thee the power to get wealth, money management. But listen, on the flip side, if you've got an attitude of this, well, I just want to keep up with the Joneses. If I want to have the same this and the same that, and you just can't produce it. Your job is not the same. Your ability is not the same. And plus, sometimes the Joneses don't tithe. Come on. I'd rather tithe than have a boat. Come on. I'd rather tithe than have the latest fashions. Can I get a witness out there? Because let me tell you something. The Joneses don't have a purpose for their life. But God's got a purpose. And there's some people driven by money. But you can't be driven by the dollar. And we miss church because we're trying to make more money. And there's nothing wrong. Sometimes in business, you do have to miss church. Sometimes there are people that have to work on Sundays, like waitresses and waiters. So I understand that. There are jobs where you do have to work on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm not talking about that. When there's no other way, and nurses, and many of them do have to be there on Sundays. Thank God. Amen. And sometimes when storms come, people have to work. But I'm talking about when you say, I'm going to stay out of church to make more money. That's not right. Got mighty quiet in here. Oh my. Pastor Jerry's coming back, so you ain't got to deal with me no more. Just tell him all about it. Amen. But let me tell you that money is not the answer to everything. If money brought people joy and cheerfulness, do you remember when Britney Spears, about 10 years ago, by the way, does anybody know who I'm talking about when I say Britney Spears? Anybody? I don't, she was popular about 20 years ago. I don't know what she is now. But about 10 years ago, there's a picture. You can go online and find it. But she got really upset with her husband. She shaved her head, bald headed. She went out with a baseball bat, and was beating her ex-husband's truck. And the dispute was over child care. Now, I want you to think of that. I saw that picture of a beautiful young lady, talented, and multi-millions. This woman has anything that money can buy, but evidently money couldn't buy what she needed at that moment. Couldn't buy her. She couldn't go to the ATM and withdraw what she needed. She felt like she had to shave her head, and she felt like she had to beat up a Bronco with a baseball bat. I'm just here to tell you, if money was the answer, Britney Spears wouldn't have shaved her head. She wouldn't have beat up a Bronco. She'd have been like, ha ha, everything's wonderful. I'm just here. Listen, people say, well, if I win the lottery, I'll be so. I can give you story after story of people who won the lottery in states and went on to commit suicide, or their children went and died in drugs because they had so much money that didn't work. Friend, your answer is not money. Your answer is not wealth in the sense of this world. Your answer is the Lord Jesus Christ, and be content and understand God's got a purpose for your life. I'd rather have $50,000 a year and the peace of God. I know what's going to happen if I win the lottery. I know every cousin I've never met is going to be begging me for money, and I want to deal with them, because if they come around, they know that I'll tell them about Jesus. Amen. And by the way, I'm not playing the lottery. I'm just going to leave it right there. You are not going to see Pastor Ricky. And I can't speak for Brother Jerry, but I don't think you'll see Pastor Jerry. I do not think you're going to go down to Speedway and wait and wait and wait while Pastor Jerry and Pastor Ricky is buying tickets and lot. You know what we believe in? Tithing. And what God does with the rest, praise God, He'll bless. Amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Oh, my Lord. Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. Go to the next slide. Someone said that money makes a wonderful servant, but a horrible master. Ernest Hemingway was the great American author. He wrote such books as The Old Man and the Sea, Farewell to Arms, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Maybe you've read his books. He lived a full life. He won a Pulitzer Prize, a Nobel Prize. He was a young reporter in World War I, and he went to the front and was wounded in Italy. He came back. He had an exciting life as a big game hunter. He hunted big game in Africa. He was a bullfighter. He was a sports fisherman. He would go out and fish for marlin. He had a full life. He lived in France. He lived in Italy. He lived in Cuba. He lived in Key West, Florida. He lived in Idaho. He did everything. He had the life. But he became an alcoholic. He went through four marriages. Now listen, when it came to the end of his life and thinking about his life, he wrote these words. Now remember what I just said. He wrote books. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. He had escapades. He would be a James Bond in a sense. But he wrote these words. He said, it seems like that we are ants on the end of a burning log. And this man who had everything put a gun to his body and committed suicide. I want to tell you, you have a purpose for your life. And money won't satisfy. Maybe relationships. Maybe on that motorcycle, it's a relationship that's riding you. Maybe a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Maybe if you're married, another man or another woman is tempting you. As I mentioned earlier about adultery. And maybe it's a friend that you're hanging around. And I remember I was dating my high school sweetheart. And I remember one night we were supposed to go out on a date and she wanted to go to a movie. And I said, I'm not going to a movie. I don't believe in going to movies. And I think we should stay home for a movie. This was then. Now, I do believe you can go to movies. Nothing wrong with that if they're godly and good. And I always check this. There's a little app on my phone that I can check every movie. And if it tells me it's got curse words in it and stuff, then I just don't go to see it. Can I get a witness out there? But she was insistent to go see this movie. So I know what it's like to stay on a Friday night. As a young man, and my girlfriend, mad at me, going to a movie, and I'm staying home all by myself. And you know what? I lived through it. The world didn't end because my girlfriend. I mean, come on, folks. We've been watching The Young and Restless too much here, and we're getting too involved. And you're not reading the Word of God because God's got a purpose. It's not your girlfriend or your boyfriend or breaking up and putting drama on Facebook. And by the way, don't put drama on Facebook. Listen, there's a... Amen. Praise God. Listen, your relationships are important. Hang around people that are godly and holy. And maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe you've been through a divorce and you're hurting this morning because your marriage failed. I still want to tell you, God has a purpose. Be of good cheer. It's not over. Amen. God can restore. God can give you a second chance at life. Maybe a tragedy. But your life is not defined by a relationship. Maybe your mother and father don't love you. Go to the next slide. Psalm 27 and 10 says, when my mother and my father forsake me, guess what? The Lord will take me up. I wish somebody would praise Him. My mom and daddy might kick me out, but God will take me in. Tell somebody, be of good cheer. Don't be driven by money. Say amen. Don't be driven by relationships. And don't be driven by the past. I got to hurry up. Don't be bound by the past. Maybe you've had a sinful past. Maybe you've made mistakes, made wrong decisions. You just can't get over the past. I'm here to tell you this morning by the word of the Lord, it's time to get over the past. You cannot go back and make a new start, my friend. But you can today begin afresh and make a new end. Did you catch that? This morning we've all made mistakes. And you can't let what you did years ago affect you. Maybe you've had a sinful past. Maybe you had a sorrowful past. Maybe you were fired from a job. Maybe you had a business to fail. You lost money. Here's what I deal with a lot. I'll see parents that will get saved in their 40s. And during those crucial years, they did not take their children to church. They slept in on Sunday. Didn't make it a priority. And now they see their children's lives and they don't desire to go to church. And they're making tragic mistakes. And they'll get saved and they'll say, Pastor, it hurts so bad that because I've made those mistakes. I was not a good mother. I was not a good father. But let me tell you something. Two things. Number one, you might not have been a good mother or father then, but you can be a good mother or father now. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. God will answer prayer over those children, even though you didn't do right. Come on. And I'll tell you another thing. If you got grandkids, you can start over. Amen. Get those little bunchkins to church. Make sure they're here for VBS. Praise God, I messed up with my kids, but Lord, I've got grandkids. Let me tell you, I'm here this morning because of a grandmother that took me to church. Praise God, there is hope. There is, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you every reason you're depressed, every reason you're frowning, I'm trying to shatter it, and I'm trying to tell you to be cheerful. This is not some hype. This is not some televangelist of a mega church. This is the word of the Lord. Five times, be of good cheer. Give the Lord a hand of praise here this morning. Maybe it's a habit. Brother Clark, if you'll get ready to come, and they'll be of good cheer that you're coming this morning. Maybe it's a habit. Some people are driven like that motorcycle by a habit. And just, I'll let you know right when to start, okay? And whatever song you feel led to play. A habit. You know what a habit is? It's something that you do that you want to stop and you can't seem to find yourself stopping. Maybe you've been to rehab. But let me tell you the answer. It's not always rehab, therapy, and counseling. These things are good. I do believe in rehab, therapy, and counseling. But there's something beyond that. And it's called the purpose of God for your life. Because when you understand your purpose, and those things come back to tempt you, you're not going to be a microphone trying to hammer a nail and mess things up. Because you're a child of God. Say it with me. I'm called. I'm chosen. And I'm what? Created. Say it with me. I'm called, I'm chosen, and I'm created. Don't you love that? Look at the next slide. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... And the truth shall... What was that word right there? Oh, y'all not getting it. Okay. I had a little shout there. Because we do sometimes we'll put a word in the Bible that's really not there. It doesn't say he'll set you free. Now, there's a difference in setting a dog free that's been in a pen all his life. You know, you get a dog, you raise him up in a little chain, and one day you let the chain go and the dog is what? Set free. But see, God don't just set us free from those chains or from those pens. He makes us free so that we are in total sense of the word. It's just as if we never were bound to start with. Amen. Well, praise God, somebody. He has made me free. Now, rehab can't do that. Rehab's good and counseling's good. 12 steps is good. Nothing wrong with that. I'm for it. But that fourth thing is this, and the rest of it, that's why people go right back to it. They've been set free, but that doesn't last. They haven't been made free. And you're made free through the purpose of God in your life. I wish somebody would say amen. Whom the Son has set. Are you free this morning? You've got a purpose. You are free and free indeed. Next slide. You are free and free indeed. Are you cheerful this morning? Every hair on your head is numbered. I don't care how many people are bullying you at school. I don't care how many are trying to kill you like Paul, 40 assassins. God has a purpose for your life. And when you embrace that purpose, I'll tell you, you will be of good cheer. And not only that, be of good cheer because you know you might not discover God's purpose, but you know He has a purpose. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to read this to you. We're talking about bluefish, but I want to read this to you. God made the fish for the sea and the birds for the trees. God made the fish for the sea and the birds for the bird for the trees. Take the fish out of the sea and put him in a tree and you got an unhappy fish. Take the bird out of the air and put him in the sea and you got an unhappy bird. But put the bird in the tree and the fish in the sea and everybody's happy. And until you give your life to Jesus, you are like a fish in a tree and you're like a bird in the sea. You have not discovered your purpose. Would you bow your heads this morning? And Father, we thank you that we are created, that we are called, that we're chosen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you are not a Christian this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you're like a bird in the sea. You're like a fish in the tree. I want you to answer this question. Do you know that if you die right now, that you'd go to heaven? If God asks you the question, why should I let you in my heaven? If you answer back, because I'm a good person, because I go to Westmoreland, because I give to the poor, then you will not make it to heaven. The only answer will be this. God, why should you let me in heaven? Because I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And you've changed my heart. I couldn't do it. And I have a purpose. And God will say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. If you don't know Jesus, I just want you just to ask you, give your life to Jesus. Young people, teenagers, totally give your life to Jesus. We have all sinned. And He offers forgiveness this morning. Now for the rest of you this morning, if you've been through some bad relationships, if you've been through some hurts, if you've been through some pain, if you're seeking other things, money or habits or other things, I want you to come to this altar this morning and I want you to be of good cheer because He has a purpose for your life. Would you join me right now? Step out of your seat as they sing and let's all close in prayer this morning at the altar and let's be of good cheer this morning. Go ahead. Oh God, we bless you. There's a river. Your purpose this morning. Thank you, God, that we are created for a purpose this morning. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care what life's done to you. There's a river this morning.
From sin.
Come to these waters.
Come to these waters. There is a vast supply.
There's a vast supply this morning. Oh, praise God. Be of good cheer. I want you to just be of good cheer. Lift your hands up to heaven.